Obia who ye? Uncle Ken who ye? Mr. Frimpong who ye? Francis Dokunso is saying, are you a human resource practitioner or business executive? Are you interested in digital transformation and AI adoption? Then mark your calendars for the Global Conference on Human Resources in Africa. Join us on October 24 and 25 at the stunning Labadi Beach Hotel to explore the emergence and dynamics of artificial intelligence and human resource technologies in Africa. Hear from Johnny C. Taylor Jr., who is the President and CEO of SHRM Global, and other distinguished speakers from around the world, including Dr. Francis Eduku, CEO of CHRM Ghana. Irene Asare is Global HR Executive and board member of the BBC News. David Segawa is a Group HR Director at Equity Bank Limited. Dr. Najat El Mahdi is Chair of the Qatar HR Forum. So come engage in interactive sessions, panel discussions and educational seminars, HR huddles and more. And that's not all. On October 25 and 26, you can join them for an exciting two-day excursion around Accra and Cape Coast. Sponsors and partners include Rigworld Solutions Limited, Axis Pension Trust, Delta Airlines, Adansi Travels, National Labour Commission, SHRM Global, CIHRM Global, SHRM Forum Ghana, Strategic Communications, no, HR Professionals, sorry, and more. You can visit www.gchrafrica.com to register today. You can also call 055-408-1727 for more information. Still here on Joy 99.7 FM. Is it back? Oh yeah, it's back. The Joy Sports Invitational Tournament is returning with lots of thrilling disciplines. On Saturday, 26 October, the University of Ghana Stadium, Legon, gets ready for a day packed with thrilling corporate sports action. So this year, we've got it all, from the swimming to lawn tennis to table tennis to arm wrestling to 5-kilometer race walk, Masters 5-meter dash open to the general public for people aged between 50 and 60. My uncle is not part of this one. CEO's penalty shootout. To the epic battles in men's football, women's penalty shootouts, 4x100 mixed relays, mixed sack relay. I'll do that one. Volleyball, basketball, free throw, drafts, scrabble, esports, or worry, and many more. To register your company, please call 054010-6466. Please, you can call or WhatsApp Slevin on 054010-6466. So mark your calendars, October 26th at the Legon Stadium. Joy 99.7 FM, Superstation, we're getting ready for the conversation on how Galamsey is affecting Ghana's tourism. So the Galamsey discussion continues today. Last week we were here, we spoke to the creatives and they shared their thoughts on Galamsey. At a time when the government is working very hard to position Ghana as a preferred tourism destination, what does this mean to the tourism sector? All right, so I have in the studio Francis Doku, who is the CEO of Digital Plugin Limited. He's a host of Africa Rising podcast. I have also the president of Africa Tourism Research Network. He is Emmanuel Frimpong. Also here in the studio is my favorite uncle, Ken Andy. We'll be joined online by Frank Doe, who is a tour guide, and also Caleb later on the show, right here on Joy 99.7 FM. Let me say hi to my guests. Let me start with my big uncle. Uncle Ken, hello.
Kwame, hello. But why are you giving me stray bullets?
Oh, no, I was giving you fun.
In your presentation, you stray bulleted me.
No, I said we were going for the invitational.
Yeah,
and but some of us will be taking part in certain sporting activities.
And others,
I'll be doing, you know, sack race.
And what was I not going to be able to do?
You do everything.
That's
a tool. And again,
Kwame,
good to have you back.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here, and particularly to see the folks who are here.
The tourists.
And Francis Doku. Every time I see Francis Doku,
mm-hmm.
I get sad.
Oh.
Because I miss Nana Texan.
Oh.
Every time I see Francis
Doku, I get
Doku, it. I get very, very, very sad. Yeah. Because of Nana Texan.
Because that's what we used to
because
do.
Because the fun we had together.
It's amazing.
Amazing. The fun.
Those days.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
I used to listen to you.
Kwame
from Koforidia.
I was listening in Koforidia. You know, it's been a very horrific week for me.
Hmm.
I've been so down. You know, the whole of this week, just because of what happened to the two.
In East Legon.
Yes. You know,
very, very sad.
I have not come to terms with it. I have not been able to come to terms with it, and it's affected me so much.
So sad.
Because
it's very unfortunate.
It's something I just cannot understand.
Yeah.
And. Oh, God, have mercy.
Very sometimes unpleasant situation.
These are the sort of things that make us question God.
Yeah. But we say he knows best.
And we always come back and say he knows best, you know. But to innocent souls out on a journey, maybe to buy something and get back home or whatever. Whew. Terrible.
Let me say hi to Mr. Frimpong. And... Mr. Frimpong is also right here with us. He's the president of the Africa Tourism Research Network, Mr. Emmanuel Frimpong. Say, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kwame.
Great to have you. Now, let me go to my other uncle who's been traveling to other parts of the world. Sometimes you see him in the wild.
Kwame, when did Uncle Ken edge me as your favorite uncle?
Mm-hmm.
When did who?
When did Uncle Ken knock me off as your favorite uncle?
Have you been my favorite?
Oh, I wasn't. I've never.
But
been.
You just said
Uncle Ken is my favorite uncle. You are my uncle, but he's my favorite.
Oh, okay, all right, I get it.
So now that you know, what you gonna do?
Ain't nothing gonna do about it.
because you refuse to give me an egg. Uncle Ken. So when I came to Accra, my uncle was supposed to have, you know, welcomed me with a tour and eggs, as he does for his kids when they are celebrating their birthday.
Right, I always see that.
He didn't do it for me.
He didn't do it.
So I knocked him off, and I told you.
Okay, right. I get it now. I'm okay.
Uncle Francis, welcome to the show again.
To see Uncle Ken.
Yes.
I was going to tell Philip that anytime I come here, Uncle Ken is not here.
But today he's here.
Uncle Ken is here.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, and he just reminded me of our days with Nana, you know, and all that. Those were the very interesting days.
Oh.
You
know?
Yeah.
Through the show, the Nana and I would go.
You go to Joy.
Osu Night Market.
You first of all go and do your 6 o'clock show.
White carpet.
No, after this one, we go tonight because that
white carpet
was 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
So we needed to hang out.
Yes,
you know,
and I'm
supposed
to
go to Osu Night Market.
Yes.
Are you suggesting my producer should be initiating something after our show?
Yes, that's true.
And when we're going, we'll put the Aglanu along.
Aglanu.
Yeah. Nice. Yes, that was some good days back then.
I saw Gladys when I went to Multi-Choice.
Yes.
And she's now in charge of Aquaba Magic.
Yes, she is.
Yeah?
She
I was so happy for her. You know? I was so happy for her. She came to hug me at Multi-Choice.
Let me also say that we have Caleb Kofi, who is Executive Director of Service Excellence Foundation, on the line. Let me see if he can hear me. Good afternoon, Caleb.
Good afternoon. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
I am working, the network is terrible. I'm in Akosombo now, and I've joined, but I can't see your handsome faces. But I'm working on the camera so that I can see you wonderful people.
Great.
Okay, Ken, how are you?
Okay.
Asking about you.
Caleb.
Uncle Ken.
Yes, Caleb.
You know, I have a meeting with you, but we'll talk about that later. Imane Pimpo, how are you?
Very well, Caleb. Good to see you. I can't see
well.
You well, but
it's good to see you guys, and
at least I
see I'm sure we're gonna have a wonderful time.
Great.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, so
just before you carry on.
All right, yeah.
1 second. Let me ask this because I need to clear it.
Okay.
Is the name Caleb or Caleb?
Let me ask him. Let's ask him. It's his name.
In Ghana, it's Caleb.
Okay, so that's a very good question. you know, I've heard my father and my mother, when I was growing up, call me Caleb, Caleb, Caleb. Mm-hmm. But when I traveled down to South Africa, they call me Caleb.
That's and what I'm saying. In Ghana, it's Caleb.
They call me Caleb.
I see.
Because my nephew is called Caleb.
just like the way my parents would pronounce it, Caleb.
And that's how his parents call him.
Okay, so it's either Caleb or Caleb, right?
Caleb, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for your time. Let's start talking then. So last week we were here, Uncle Ken was part of the first panel, and we spoke about Galamsey and its effects as creatives. Today we're here to analyze its effect on tourism. And I saw an article that Uncle Francis Doku did last week or during the week on the effect of Galamsey on Ghana's tourism aspirations. And I was like, okay, so this is actually going to have effect on tourism, right? Now we're here to break it down to know how serious the situation is. Let me start with you, Uncle Francis Doku. So what inspired that article?
Thank you, Kwame. I think what inspired it, I mean, I wrote it in my column. I have a travel and
tour. I didn't want to read it so that I would take the wind out of your sail.
In a daily graphic on Saturdays.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an opportunity for me to express my view about things, about tourism, about travel, you know, and all that, and share some of my experiences. So I was thinking about how the nation's consciousness have come towards the issue of Galamsey and how it's affecting the environment, how it's affecting, you know, water bodies especially. I mean, you see videos of places where water is supposed to be, the water and sewage places where we needed to clean the water before we, and it looks so bad. You see photos of river bodies overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks so chocolatey, you know, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I, this week I even saw how the river that is going into the sea and how it's carrying along all that, you know, brown, you know, if you like, debris and all that color into the sea, you know, and all that. So for me, those were the things that, and there has been a lot of conversations about how labor, you know, at the time said they were going on strike. There was, you know, so many issues happening. And a lot of people were calling on the authorities that, look, it's time we found a way to stop it. So I was thinking about how tourism would also be affected, because we set ourselves as a nation that is trying to push ourselves to become the tourism destination of preference for anybody who's coming to Africa. Last year, I think we did about 1 point something. It's difficult for us to cross the 1 million line, you know. The first time we did was 2019, and COVID came, we went down, and now we're trying to get ourselves back there. Last year, thankfully, numbers that show that we were about 1.4 or something like that, you know. So we're on a drive, and there are a lot of things that we're doing. I mean, Ghana, since 2019, has become a place that everybody wants to travel to in December. You know, people have been coming here and all that. But because of the noise we made, the events that we align and how we spoke about it, I travel to places and people are asking me, when do I come to Ghana? And we've seen a lot of things you're doing. Do we come in December, or is there another time that we can come and all that? So there's a certain level of, you know, awareness that Ghana has gained, that I believe would lead to us eventually getting to a place where we want with tourism. But I felt that these things that is happening would have negative impact on our drive and our aspirations, you know, because ecotourism is very important to people, and they want to come into places where they have access to, you know, water, clean water, mm-hmm. where rafting, you know.
Mr. Doku, I'm not cutting you, yeah. but I want our listeners who are new to this tourism, you know, space to understand what ecotourism is.
Oh, but ecotourism, we mean a natural, you know, mm-hmm. tourism where okay. water, mountain, waterfalls, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. and generally, I mean, Ambassador Frempon can better, you know, break it into. But yes. you know, as compared to things that you have to build,
yeah.
you know, like mm. maybe even a castle is not a, it's not an ecotourism,
yeah.
you know, stuff like that. But where you go to your wildlife, your waterfalls, mm-hmm. your mm-hmm. natural places where they were created by God, if you like, and you want to experience nature, that becomes, you know, your ecotourism place. You know, so those are the things that we affected the most. You know, especially because people travel. I mean, I was recently in Kenya, and the number of people who go to Kenya for wildlife mm-hmm. would amaze the number of small mm-hmm. aircrafts that are going from Nairobi mm-hmm. to all those places, Naivasha, Amboseli, Masai Mara, you know, and all that. Consistently, I mean, every minute one airline is going
1 minute via.
1 minute via. Not airline. Never, baby. You know, and it is because they've done proper conservation. They can show the things they have in terms of the natural, you know, and all that. If you take a place like Botswana, one of the biggest places for wildlife as well in Africa, Botswana gets about 2.5 or so, 2.something million tourist arrivals a year, and its population is about 2.4 million. Even though it's a big country, but it is because they've done a lot of conservation. If you go towards the north, the Kasin area, mm-hmm. towards the Okavango Delta, you know, and all that, how water flow from different places into that place, and people go just to see how, you know, all those things are. I feel that if we don't find a way to put an end to this, especially when I saw the likes of Ankrobra River. I mean, there was a time 2014 that I went to Axim, and I went towards the Ankrobra, you know, sign, and saw that the water was nice. There was boats on the water that you could,
yeah,
you could be on, you know, and all, and tour the area, get fish, you know, and all that. But I saw how the water had become. I saw the prayer how it had become. I feel that we are heading towards what you call tourism Armageddon. You know, and so there was a need to look at how to bring us back. Another thing, and I think the gentleman who we spoke with earlier mentioned about investment. You know, tourism thrives on investment. Mm-hmm. Last year, if you recall, there was an investment summit for tourism at with the president, Pedyasi, which the president addressed. There have been different conversations about how to attract investment into our tourism space. And all these conversations that are going on, I think that if investment sometimes is shy of, you know, things like how do we get our money back if we come to invest in your economy, especially in the area of tourism, because of the bad press that we're having, and a lot of people have asked that, what is happening in your country? There's a way, in my view, that those investments will not come in. So we cannot expand our tourism, you know, infrastructure as we hope to, because government really cannot... No government is able to build all the tourism infrastructure. They need to have private investors coming. They need to have PPP and other things to develop those infrastructure. And so if we keep this and the conversation still goes on and people think that, well, there's no way I'm going to get my money back, we are going to, in my view, lose that investments that people may have thought of, you know, bringing into our... And finally, I think also, not final, but so other people come in as well. I mean, there's a... When tourists are going to places, they want to be sure that they're not going to places where they have health issues,
mm-hmm.
they will have, you know, security must be assured, you know, and all that. But health issue is very important. If I'm coming here and I know that the water that I'm coming to drink, I'd have problems, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to come. you know, I would have second thoughts. So if I have to go to Ghana and I'm seeing these things, can't I go to another place where I can have the same experience, you know, or similar experience and not necessarily go to Ghana? You know, so I thought that all these things, you know, coming together has a way of eventually affecting our aspirations as a destination that we've been trying to get ourselves out there. We have problem with our beaches. We have beach, and many countries that don't have beach envy us. We have problems with having properly been able to harness our beach to get the best out of it. So much debt and filth and the other one, fecal matter in our sea. So we're unable to use the sea to attract tourists the way other countries are able to. Once again, just to give a small example of Kenya. Mm-hmm. Kenya's biggest tourism source is Uganda. About 50% of all the people who travel to Kenya come from Uganda. Because Uganda is a landlocked country, and they go to Kenya mostly because they go for beach tourism, you know, and to do weddings on the beach, do snorkeling at Mombasa, you know, and all that, you know. And so it's important that if we are not able to do that, and the areas where we could expand ourselves to, we're still also cutting ourselves from there based on this thing. I think that it's important that we look at it. So the nation's consciousness, a lot of people are speaking about that. And I think that there are good voices that are speaking about that. I think the issue where it's become like, once you talk about galamsey or ask about it to be stopped, then you are, you know, opposed to, mm-hmm. you know, authorities, existing authorities.
Yeah.
We need to go beyond that. Many people speak because they feel that we are, we're destroying things that we need to be able to protect. And so it would affect health, it would affect other things. But I think that if we want to become a tourism destination that we ascribe to, we need to stop it now. There's been suggestions about let's halt some of these things and then see how we can do it. I feel we should. If we do not, I think that some 5 years to come, we would be in a very difficult situation as far as tourism is concerned. That's what I think.
Let me bring in, thank you very much, Francis Duke. Let me bring in Mr. Emmanuel Frimpong, who is president of Africa Tourism Research Network. So how serious is this galamsey menace on tourism? Is it that serious? Well, on tourism.
First of all, let me use this opportunity to thank your listeners and those who are watching us, and also the opportunity to meet Uncle Ken. I've been listening to him, and I didn't know he was this younger, because the way George and others would tease him, I thought he was.
He's an old young man.
He's an old young man.
And also meet my brother.
He's young at heart.
Yes. Very, very, very intelligent. Kwame, the issue of galamsey and the impact on tourism is very serious. It is serious, but unfortunately, because in our part of the world, we don't pay attention to research, we don't do much survey, so we haven't really sat down to look at where are we being impacted and what is the negative impact in terms of GDP and even employment that will have health, that will have on us. So I'll look at just two things before we get into the deeper conversation. So the first impact that I look at is what I call reputational effect or reputational impact. Reputational effect in the sense that I think Francis alluded to that. Now, yesterday, I moderated a program, United Nations World Tourism Organization, the African Tourism Board organized one, and I was privileged to moderate it, and we had about 9 or 10 tourism ministers from Africa who participated, and also other tourism board members. And before we got into the conversation, we're talking about tourism. And I was surprised to learn that most of these countries around us, in the past, they were not focused on tourism. Countries like Togo, Benin,
the things Benin
Senegal,
is doing.
Benin,
amazing.
Cote d'Ivoire, the tourism minister of Cote d'Ivoire said they just did 2 million in 1 month, 2 million visiting
in 1 month.
In 1 month, just yesterday. So, you know what is happening? And we are all asking the same tourist to come. So if they are doing what we are not doing, they are promoting their countries, they are marketing their countries more than we are doing. We do a lot more of talking than actually doing the actual work of getting people to come here and making sure that when they come, they are happy, they are satisfied, they come back. So these countries are promoting their destinations. And then the moment they get more or less this competitive advantage over us that, oh, look, Ghana, look at what you are doing to your water. And Francis mentioned, for safety and security is number one for every tourist. Food safety, water safety, and then safety, the fact that if I go out, I'm sure I'll come back, I'll not be attacked. So if I'm not sure of the water safety, if I'm not sure of food safety, why should I visit your country? So these countries around us who see Ghana as, yes, 2019 we did well by attracting, at least hitting the 1 million, 1.3 or so. Could we have done more? Yes, we could. So these countries are going to use this negative, the illegal mining to actually attack us, in quote, that, oh, Ghana is not safe. I mean, their water is not safe. Their food is not safe. Food, of course, will become expensive. Water will become expensive. So these countries will begin to attract the very same people that we want to attract to come to Ghana. And when we did the year of return, 2019, the following year, you know what the Nigerians did? They brought about 17 people in their tourism industry to come and understand what we did in 2019.
They did that?
I'm telling you, I was there. I made a presentation, right? To understand what we did so that they will do a similar one. You know these guys, when they want to replicate what you've done, they do it far better than you, and they are working on it. So we should not sit back, relax, and think that everything is well for us, and then we don't want to do anything about Galamsey. It is serious when countries begin to pick on us, because when they are coming, these environmentalists, they are very particular about countries that do not pay attention to the environment. So they will tag you, last 2 years we did ecotourism and we're looking for some specific hotels. And the sponsors were specific. We could not get any hotel in this region, Accra, to host it. We had to go to Royal Senchi.
Why was that?
Because they thought, in their opinion, none of the hotels in Accra were eco hotel enough to host that program.
Please explain, what do you mean by being eco-tourist?
Break it down.
So how you use electricity, how you waste water, what you use, your roofing, everything you do there, do you take the environment into consideration? So if you don't, and you need to take the box and know that you qualify, they could not get anyone. They had to resort to Royal Senchi. So everybody else had to move from there to Royal Senchi. So if they begin to see that our hotels, our tourism, everything is not safe, then obviously these countries that we are inviting to come for MICE is meetings, incentives, conferences and events or exhibitions. And we want to make Ghana as MICE hub in West Africa. And if we don't do it right, they will not come. The second one had to do with investment, which Francis also talked about, and OK Frimpong also mentioned. Just this year, August, September, I was in Berlin on some tourism investment opportunity, and I'm supposed to be back this month, 28th to 5th of November on investment impact in Africa, attracting investment into Africa. And now we're dealing with tourism, investment in tourism and hospitality. And just this morning, the host sent me a message. I mean, that, so what is happening with the situation with illegal mining? They've, this very morning.
Really?
Yes. And then he said, okay, I should also prepare if there is any question around it. That is what he told me, that I should also prepare if there is any question, because investors would not want to invest in places where they cannot get the return on their investment. Francis just mentioned it. So they just don't look at the fact that the economy is good, people are nice, and no, they are looking at more things that we don't look at, and the environment for them is number one.
So it's become a matter of concern to the international
market. It is critical. It is critical. They are looking at us. They have not picked it up, but gradually they will pick it up, and it will be against us.
Later on, I'll ask you something about what your presentation will be when you go there. But let me speak to Caleb, who is Executive Director of Service Excellence Foundation. Caleb. Hello, Caleb.
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay, so we've heard from Francis Doku and Emmanuel Frimpong. We are analyzing the effects of Galamsey on tourism in Ghana. Your take, sir?
Galamsey has been on the bubble for some time now. I mean, there has been a lot of commentary at different levels, high levels, middle levels, low level, and it looks as if we don't actually have a grab on what the solutions should be. And I want to look at, again, because Service Excellence Foundation, we do advocacy for service quality, and we also look at the leadership. Today's conversation is focused on tourism, and I could agree with Emmanuel Frimpong more when he touched on the reputational damage, the subject matter reputation. It is very, very, very important. Recently, I've had three guests, one from Switzerland, the other from Italy, and then also just UK, 6 hours away from Ghana, all expressing great concern about the state of Galamsey and the condition around it. So I asked them that, what do you think? Within your circles, is this something that is being picked? And he said, oh, yes. They've been talking about it. And one of the things that surprises them most is about the fact that Ghana is touted with all the places. In fact, like we all know, Save Democracy Hub, we are the beacon of West Africa, and it's a preferred destination. I mean, all the accolades you can think of. But they are very concerned about the leadership on Galamsey. So the question that we should be asking is, the way this thing is going, how are we going to find a lasting solution to the issue of Galamsey so that it will minimize the impact of reputation that it has on the country? Because at the end of the day, if you run a business or a company and you have reputational issues, it will affect the bottom line. It's as simple as that. Look, I do a lot of customer service training, customer experience, and different organizations. And one of the things I always talk about is the fact that you must be mindful of your organizational brand offering. Very, very important. What are your brand offering? What is the reputation on your brand offering to your clients? And for that matter, we have done very well. Congratulations to Minister of Tourism, Ghana Tourism Authority, Ghana Tourism Federation, the private sector, and allied partners in the value chain. We have all contributed so much to bring the national tourism or the Ghana tourism brand to this level, especially the strategy on year of return, beyond return. It has worked so much. But the question is, when Galamsey was brewing all this time, where were the leaders? What were they considering? Did they look into the future to see today that you and I will sit in the studio and be doing a lot of talk about the state of Galamsey at this point? Francis has touched on very eloquently in his write-up. In fact, the first day when I read his piece, I was as yet. That is it. It beautifully summarized. But the question is, beyond tourism brand, what is the perception out there? And like Emmanuel Frimpong said, gradually it is going out. I have read extensively to see whether any international feed, international media, or even an international conversation has been picked on it. I haven't found quite enough information about the state of Galamsey, except the fact that, of course, here in Ghana, we have said so much about it. But trust me, much as we are talking about Galamsey issues in Ghana, once it hits crisis point of international concern, listen, we will be in trouble. We will be in great trouble, because don't forget that we are not the only people trying to create a reputational brand. You must also understand that there are global brands, especially the environmentalist agencies and commissions and organizations. Once they begin to put a spotlight on Ghana and they start to talk about Galamsey, you and I can expect what could happen, because these are global endorsements. And when they speak, people are going to have great concern in reevaluating why they must even visit Ghana. You recall some time ago, this LGBT thing, when it started. Remember, a certain country said that, well, if we don't open up and be flexible with LGBT and to accommodate, you know, all the communities, then of course there's going to be a restriction on support and investment and blah, 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 blah. It just goes to show that even though we talk about LGBT, there are also organizations, global organizations, who are also watching Ghana on how we are dealing with LGBT issues. We've dealt with that issue. Now we are on tourism here in Ghana. In the same vein, you're going to have all these global communities putting a spotlight on Ghana. And once they start to put the spotlight on Ghana, trust me, all the work that we have done will be in jeopardy. They are watching, they are observing, they are calculating, and at the right time, when they start to speak, it's going to hurt us badly. And so that is the area of the service quality vis-a-vis reputation that I wanted to look at. What is our quality here? We have fine brand that Doku talked about. I mean, environment. He talked about it. What kind of environment are we supposed to create? When it comes to health, what kind of health are we supposed to create? Ecotourism, heritage, all the different tourism brands that we have. Why must we allow just a few greedy people to put the country's reputation at risk? I must also say that, yes, we have done all the demonstrations, we have done all the noise, but is it good enough? That's the question I want to ask. I don't think it is good enough. So what I believe we also should be looking at is that at the end of the day, Emmanuel Frimpong, I'm going to tax you perhaps to look further into some of the conversations within the global community. What are they saying? What is their concerns? What are the feet that we are picking up? Because the only way you can measure service quality, which we do in customer service, is also to elicit the feedback from the users. And of course, if we are going to rely on Ghana alone for domestic tourism and investment, we are not going to go anywhere. I mean, we live in Ghana here, but you have a lot of people who are not promoting domestic tourism. And I'm talking about tour operators, but they are promoting outbound travel where they send people to Dubai, Europe and America, all because the environment is what? As good as it can be. You tell me all over the world, how many countries have really, really devastated, you know, their environment when it comes to precious minerals? You won't say it. It won't happen, you know, but we've allowed ourselves, we've neglected to look at the policies and enforcement, and we have gotten to where we have gotten now. So I think that Emmanuel Frimpong nailed it. The reputation is very, very, very concerning. If I can have three guests from international guests who have shown concern that, listen, we are not comfortable about it. How many international guests also are out there who are also raising concerns, and gradually it will get to the corridors of influence. And when that happens, we are going to be in serious, serious reputational crisis.
Thank you very much, Caleb Kofi, who is Executive Director of Service Excellence Foundation. Let me get on the phone line and speak to Tourism Curator Pajon Datsing. Hello, sir.
Hello, Kwame. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good.
Fantastic. So we are taking a look at how... Please, could you... maybe reposition yourself. We're having some feedback in the background.
Okay.
All right. So we have on a line Pajon Datsin, who is a tourism curator. He's a writer. Yeah. Pajon of Wango Wango. Wango Wango fame. John 99.7 FM. We've been looking at the effect of Galamsey on Ghana's tourism. We have in the studio Francis Doku, Emmanuel Frimpong. We have Uncle Ken. And online, we have Caleb Kofi. And joining us now, Pajon Datsin. Hello, Pajon.
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So we've been analyzing the effect of Galamsey on Ghana's tourism. We've heard so much about reputation effect on Ghana's tourism. What do you have to add to this?
I haven't listened from the beginning, and I assume that it might have been touched on. But the issue of reputation is very, very important. If it's not something we pay attention to, it's something the international tourism community or the tourist community, anybody who is thinking about coming to Ghana, is going to be naturally concerned about our safety, or about their safety. And the water situation, the Galamsey situation that's affecting our water, obviously it's a security situation. So when they think about security, this is food security, because they're going to imbibe water into their system, and nobody wants to get something into their system that's not pure. And with our water the way it's looking, and what social media is even doing, the things that we ourselves are even doing on social media that's going around, could adversely affect us, because eventually, people who are going to be coming to visit us may think that all our water is so contaminated that we don't even have the bottled waters and coal that we actually have. We here know that we have bottled water and all that. But it's not enough that, you know, we really need to work on this Galamsey thing. And then the international reputation is so, so, so important to work out, to make sure that the image that we have out there is above board, and people who want to consider coming to Ghana. Because one of the things that happens is that when people want to visit, want to go on vacation, there's a chunk of the tourists who are just, we want to go on vacation. Two, we want to go to Africa. Three, where in Africa should we go to? I know a friend of mine who has linked South Africa, Ghana, and others. People call her all the time. That between South Africa and Ghana, where should they go to? She's living here currently, so she will come to Ghana. A few weeks later, they will call and say the visa process is a challenge, this is a challenge. If we're going to add the security of our water not being pure to the things that people are going to be worried about coming to Ghana, then we are going to be in even more serious problems. So that's what I want to...
Okay. You know. Pajon, please stay on for me. Let me ask my guests, and I'll come back to you with this one. Uncle Francis, so we've been talking about the reputation and all that, meaning that we are more or less concerned about the image outside. What about domestic tourism? How is this going to affect us, you know, the tourism in this country, domestically?
Well, I mean, I mean, tourism is definitely two sides.
Yeah.
You know, there's your domestic and then your, but Kwame, the one that gives you a lot more money, it's your international tourism.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, because when people come, they'll come with foreign currency.
Exactly.
And spend. So they will spend on taxi, they will spend in restaurants, they will spend in hotels, they will go to tour sites, you know, and all that. So it's important that we preserve a certain reputation that will make people have the confidence in coming. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to think about our domestic as well.
Exactly.
Because the conversations about Galamsey and why people are on the streets is more focused on how Ghanaians, you know, will benefit from the environment and not get harmed by the things that happen. Because we mentioned about how the water, mercury is entering the water bodies. And I think medical people have said that the effect of that is will not be felt immediately, you know. It could last for far longer. I mean, recently, when the hurricane, the Milton happened in Florida, you know, there were some people on a platform I was who were comparing the damage it did to those communities to the kind of damage that Galamsey is doing, you know, to our communities. And I said that I feel theirs is not as devastating as Galamsey. Because, Kwame, with insurance and all that, within 1 year, you wouldn't even see what happened there. But what happens here is lasting. You know, like the water, the environment, you know, things, and people are getting sick. And if we don't take care, it will last longer. So it's important as we think about or discussing or urging or pleading or encouraging that we put a stop to, you know, Galamsey. We're thinking more about our people.
Great.
But I think the point we're making also is that it's important we keep an eye on how people perceive us so that if they decide, as Per John said, first of all, I want to go on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I go?
Yeah.
I want to go to Africa. In Africa, where do I want to go to?
Ghana.
Is it Ghana or where? If people think about all that, they will choose us so that they will come with their dollars, their pounds, their Canadian dollars, Australian dollars, you know, Naira and things, and spend in our economy. So it goes down to everybody. Eventually, tourism, if it is done well, it becomes a very big employer, you know, because the communities, if you go to Kintampo Waterfall, you spend money in the community.
Exactly.
People who sell things around there, you buy them. If you go to, Kwetwe, Agotime Kwetwe, in the water region, you buy the Kente, you go to that Kente place, you buy, you know, those things and spend, leave money within the community for people to spend. And so it's important that we think about our people, but it's also very important that we keep an eye on how, you know, those who we intend to get. Because when we say we want to attain maybe 2 million arrivals, it's also, it's both domestic and foreign.
And foreign, yeah.
And so we need to look at how many of that will come from the foreign as we think about our own people as well.
Right. Let me get to Uncle Ken now. Uncle Ken, so you've listened to everybody on this panel. Yeah. And they have analyzed the situation, you know, from all angles. Please, top it up for us. What's the opening barrier? What's the opening barrier? Not in Swahili.
Asa. Pay him for no guar.
Who now you open?
Let me. Me don't worry you.
Who you open him? Open him. Into guarini yanko.
Brilliant. I've enjoyed the submissions from all of them, because almost all the people you've spoken to so far are in that industry.
Yeah.
The tourism industry.
Yeah.
I got a bit worried when a couple of weeks ago on Newsfile a lady came to talk about the sanctions our food exporters could have if we don't curtail what's happening with Galamsey, because most of the food and stuff that we export out there are contaminated.
I heard that.
Did you listen to that?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
I got very worried when I heard that from the lady, because I said to myself, wow, if the food we export is going to have such serious effects on us, what about the people who live where they export the food?
Yeah.
That means that double jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know, we ourselves are going to suffer as well as people we export the food to. And there are people out there that we always refer, people like Francis Doku them will always put out there on Facebook and other places how good our food is,
yeah,
and tastes. And the people who come to Ghana, who tour Ghana, would want to experiment with the food that people like Francis put out there. And if the news going out is our food is contaminated, hey, how do you think those people would feel like? The year of return, almost all the people who turn up here would like to experiment with our food. You know, they come here, it's not only the pleasure, the fun that they have at nightclubs or places, but the food and stuff like that. And if our food is going to be contaminated to that extent, it's serious. I was listening to Francis and Mr. Frimpong, and I asked myself a few questions. I said, places like the Kintampo waterfalls,
yeah,
are we nearing a period whereby the falls could be mellowy
if we don't,
instead of being as clear as we know it to be? There could come a time when that, when you go there, what you experience coming down is all brown.
Yeah, because the water comes from somewhere.
It comes from somewhere. Thank you, Francis.
Yeah,
because I'm saying to myself, it comes from somewhere. And if we are polluting where it comes from, what do we expect when it gets there? And I say to myself, foods like tilapia, where do we get tilapia from? From our lakes.
Yeah.
Right? And if most of our lakes are being polluted.
Poisoned, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah. Poisoned.
You know, yeah.
Most of our lakes are being polluted and poisoned. And I say, hey, we've spoken so much about tilapia that the whole world wants to experiment with tilapia when they come to Ghana.
But we really promoted tilapia.
We have. From being Kobe.
Yeah. Now we're
when I was growing up. And Kobe was...
Now we're on catfish.
Francis, when I was growing up, Kobe was the least expensive commodity to buy in a market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now don't go there.
Now if you don't put down, 200...
Don't go there.
Kobe, oh, Kobe.
It's tilapia, please.
You see how branding works. The people in the branding business will tell you how branding works.
Yeah.
We branded Kobe to tilapia.
You want to say that it's Kobe?
Eh? Not tilapia. But the tilapia is the fresh.
Yes.
You.
You know? And I'm saying if these things are can be polluted, it's going to affect people who come down here to want to experiment and taste this so-called tilapia that we talk about. So it's a very serious situation that we find ourselves in. And the areas where most of our tourism takes place, I don't know. I haven't done any research. Francis and Mr. Frimpong will be best to tell me which of the tourist sites that we have in Ghana presently are areas where Galamse takes place. I don't know. I want to know.
I think we know the regions. I mean, if we take the regions for instance.
Right. Yeah.
So the Western region is a big draw for tourists. I mean, because of the beach, the castles, some of the castles out there, like Discov, you have Nkrumah's hometown. You know, and all that. If you take the eastern region, you have the Boti Falls.
The Boti Falls,
you know, all that. If you take Ashanti region, for instance, we have the military museum, you have Menchia Palace, you have Busum Tree, you know, all that. So practically, where Volta region is also a big place for tourism. But we haven't
Does Galamse happen in the
Volta region? We're having...
Not that we know of. Okay.
But I think, well, no, it's rather OT that recently there's conversation about, you know, iron and other things that, you know, they're mining there. And so the point is to look at how to stem it before it gets to places where it would, we don't know about it happening there yet. But if we don't find ways to put measures in place, all those places will become part of it.
Wow.
And that becomes very, very serious.
Yeah, it becomes very serious.
For both we, the inhabitants ourselves.
Exactly.
And people who would want to visit.
And also because of the way the river flows from one point to the other. Most of the river ends up in the sea. Every river would eventually...
So would the sea ever get polluted?
I saw a video where it's carrying the...
I saw that video too.
Sea.
I thought it was AI-generated video though.
No.
That's real.
It's real.
It's real. There was a reporter who was actually live giving...
It was giving live, so you could see it moving from one point to the other. So... It's critical.
No, you were making a point, and I wanted you to make that point, that the sea is so...
The sea is so vast. So vast. But everything goes into the sea. I mean, everything, I don't know, Mr. Frimpong.
And it refreshes itself.
Is there a place here that we do snorkeling in this town?
Not that I know.
You know, because, Angakan,
what
so
is
much
snorkeling?
Well, you go and watch under the sea and watch the sea. Animal, you watch sea turtles, you watch things moving on the sea, wearing your goggles and
things.
It's beautiful. That some of the countries in Africa, one of the main draws for people to come is
that
if you go to Seychelles, for instance, you go to Mombasa in Kenya, you go to many other places who have, you know, the beach. I don't think we have that because when you're looking down, what will you see? What will you see in the Ghana Sea?
You see, you see Galamsey.
You see, you know what I mean? So I'm saying that we haven't been able to do that because of debris, because of filth, because of fecal matter,
that we throw into our
and
sea.
All that. Yeah. Other places, they protect the sea better than we do.
Yes.
And we're going to have also Galamsey also becoming a problem for that, you know?
Jesus,
so it's double jeopardy. You mentioned double.
Yes.
That's what it is.
And I think this discussion must even go beyond Galamsey. With regards to what you mentioned about, you know, getting hotels in Accra that are eco-friendly, it means there is a big problem at hand. Yeah, so let's go on the lines now before I come back to you. We have a tour guide online, Frank Doe. Hello, Frank.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly.
Okay, so Frank, you are a tour guide, and I know you've been moving around, you know, with tourists most times. What is your encounter with Galamsey? Have you seen any sights in that situation?
Oh, okay. So greetings to everyone watching and all your listeners. For us, Kwame, the problem for us tour guides, we are with the clients for the entire duration in Ghana. So the tour operators will do the itinerary, sell the package. And some of the clients, when they come, they don't even meet the tour operators. So for the tour guides, we are with them throughout their journey. And, you know, all the questions are always on us. Like, recently I actually happened to travel with the Kenya ambassador to Ghana with a family.
Okay.
So we went to the Ashanti region. We were going to the Western. So instead of going through Central, he was like, okay, we'll be coming back through Central. So let's use from Obuasi through Wasa, Western North to Takwa to Maha Beach. Kwame, couldn't believe that on the way, on the highway, you know, usually tall guys, we love to sell Ghana. So we brag about how we respect the environment.
Of course.
Especially talking about, on Thursday, where I grew up in Tapa Butuase in Oti region, on Thursdays, they don't go farm because it's the day for the F God, as I say, yeah. So we don't do farming on Thursday. We respect the land so much. So you, as a tour guide, we brag about all this. And 2 hours into the journey, right beside the highway, there was mining Galamsey across on both sides of the highway. Can you imagine? Then the questions come back to you. You talk about how you protect it, you respect the environment, you take good care of the environment. So what's happening? Look at all the... Then you are found wanting. You don't even know what to say. So for us tour guides, the question is always on us because we brag a lot. That's why we have visitors from America talking about the food aspect. Mr. Doku and Mr. Frimpong have talked about how we talk about food aspects. We brag about our food. We have the best food. People come and taste our food. So food is good. I had a group where when it was time for them to go back to the U.S., they were very sad because, we are leaving all this nice, fresh and nice food and going back to all those horrible foods. Then today, they hear on the news that our water is polluted. there's mercury in our water, mercury, our water that we are using to produce the foods, there's mercury in it, Kwame. Just imagine, as a tour guide, you are spending 10 days, 11 days, 2 weeks with tourists, and you're with them throughout, and all these questions come to you. So us tour guides,
specifically,
we are always at the yes.
Have you encountered a situation where your tourists have asked you questions about Galamsey?
Yes, they've asked, because especially I had a group recently, they were environmentalists. So they were visiting Kakum, and actually, it got, I don't know how they managed to get to the news that they got the news that there is illegal mining happening in the Kakum forest. I don't know if you know, you've heard about it.
Sure.
And that question was thrown to me. Then I was found out, because I brought that, oh, you know, the Kakum National Park is connected to the, from all the way from Upper Guinea. So it's connected to the Upper, we call it the Upper Guinean Forest. So Guinea, all the way through Cote d'Ivoire to Ghana, the Kakum Forest Park is connected like that. So it's a very important place for research and all that. So they asked me about it. Then Kwame, I didn't know what to say.
What questions did they ask?
Like, okay, we've heard that there's Galamsey happening in the Kakum Forest, but this is a place, an ecotourism and a research site. So why did we allow these things to be happening?
Wow.
Why did we allow these things to be happening?
And what because answer did you give them?
All right, I told them this goes beyond just an individual. It's a network of issues. But the government and the people of Ghana and the leadership are working on it, that this situation will be curtailed very soon. So that's the only encouragement I was able to get. We are really working hard on it, 100%. The military is involved, national security is getting involved. So the next time they are in Ghana, they are not going to see anything of that sort.
So from your interactions with the tourists, did it come across as they've been disappointed in, you know, touring these places?
Yes. I had a group about 10, and you could see, especially the older generation among them, they were really disappointed from their body language. I could see that they were really disappointed. When I was traveling alongside with the Kenyan ambassador, the man was really heartbroken, because he had some guests and his family as well. So the man has been here for so long, so he loves Ghana, and seeing that right happening right by the main highway, on both sides of the highway. No, this guy didn't mind. They were just mining. And, you know, the beautiful landscapes have been destroyed. The landscape around there has been destroyed, especially about 2 hours into the end, getting to Wasa Ekropon area.
Okay, well, let me ask you again, Frank Doe. So from the interaction with them, did it occur to you that these tourists might not return to Ghana again for, you know, future visits?
I could tell that if they get a better option compared to Ghana, they are definitely not coming back. Because other countries around us are busily developing. So when Mr. Doku and Mr. Frimpo were talking, they mentioned about Togoem. Do you know what Benin is doing? Their target is by 2025, 2026, tourism have to be the second highest earner for Benin. So when I went to the Voodoo Festival in January this year, the president himself was around from day one and day two. The guy is busy working. Road networks are being fixed. And Ghana, our problem, excuse me to say, is that we are only good at speaking English, but we are not doing the actual work. We are only good at speaking English.
It's more talk, eh?
More talk. And these guys are working already. The tourists are complaining about our road network. Our facilities our tourist attraction are not in good shape compared to our competitors. Then you are adding a pollution of water. Because, all right, Kwame, do you know that when most of these tourists are coming, they inform them that don't even use the tap water to brush your teeth?
Oh, okay. They are told this before they enter.
Yes. I think Mr. Frimpo and Mr. Doku will attest to that. They told them, you don't even brush your teeth with the tap water, so they have to use bottled water.
So already they have that at the back of their mind that
yes,
our water, tap water, is not safe for drinking.
Safe. Not even for drinking, for even to brush your teeth. they are not surviving, so 100% they are banned from drinking it. To even paste, to brush your teeth with it, they are warned not to do that. So now that the water is polluted, they are reported that there are mercury in our water, and they are using the same water to go and cook for you. The fish you are eating is from that water. Do you see where we are getting to?
Wow, Frank. Frank, thanks for your time. Please keep on, you know, interacting with them, and let's see how this goes. And we pray that this is solved very soon, very soon. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so Frank Doe is a tour guide, and we're still here having a conversation on the effects of Galamsey on Ghana's tourism. John Acton, or the possible effect of Galamsey on Ghana's tourism. Already we've spoken to the tour guide and other people in this value chain who have spoken to the effect or the possible effect of Galamsey on tourism. Let's come in and try to proffer solutions as usual. So, apart from all that we are doing today, apart from the conversation we're having, apart from some of the solutions that the president, you know, has proffered during that meeting with organized labor, what else do you think will be the right thing to salvage this whole situation, the Galamsey menace? Let me come in here, or maybe as industry people in the tourism value chain, should we do a protest or demonstration? Let me start with you, Mr. Ephraim Pom. Beyond all these promises and everything we're doing here, the protest, everything, what do you think can be the solution, or should be the solution to Galamsey?
As a nation, we have given our right, in quote, to the president, that he should take care of us in terms of our security, our resources, and everything we have. So for me, it has to come from the president. And what has to be done is that let us stop everything for now. As far as mining is concerned, especially those in that deep forest close to the water bodies, and those that are doing, whether it's you have a license or you don't have a license, because now we don't even know who has a license and who has a license but is supposed to operate in Eastern region, but the license somehow, some way, is allowing that person to operate in Western region. And we also have people who have license to operate in Station A, and then somehow, some way, they are operating. So let's stop everything now. And then when we stop, we re-engage. Okay, you have a license. You are supposed to operate here or mine here. You've been mining at this place. No, you can't do that. These are the terms and conditions. You cannot mine maybe 100 meters or whatever from the river. You can't go into the forest. Of course, we the president, I'm not sure if the mining law, that bill has been totally revoked.
Not
or
yet.
They are waiting for parliament to come and then reverse it. So that has to be done. And then we need to halt every mining activity as far as those in mining the water and in the forest is concerned. We have to do that and then engage the community. The chiefs must be involved. And sometimes when I hear people talk about the chiefs can't do anything, and I'm like, how did they? Because they don't use shovel pickers to go and mine in that deep forest and river. And the chiefs are in the community. So don't they see the excavators moving in? Are they not concerned? So what is it? What are the chiefs also doing? Are they also involved? I'm just asking. If you are not involved, how do you allow somebody to come to your village? And when I was a child growing up in Sabronum, where three chiefs were dethroned by Otunfo Osei Tutu II.
Oh, okay.
I saw the forest. I saw the rivers there. I went there last year in October. I was there to bury my dad, and I saw the devastation. So the chiefs are there. The youth are there. They see what people are doing. What do we have to do? That area was a farming community. They were into tomato farming, cocoa. Everything is gone. Now, when you go there, interestingly,
we wanted to buy Full Star from there. It was even expensive in Sabronum than Fauman, which is about 30 minutes away from there. That's closer to Kumasi. The village food was even expensive than those in Fauman. How? Because illegal mining is taking place. Now, when they farm, they don't get their produce. So, for me, we need to halt it for now.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Emmanuel Frimpong. Let me go to Caleb and take his final words. Caleb, how do we solve the situation, Caleb?
It's a very difficult question for me to answer because my point is, how did we get here in the first place? How did we get here? Did we not see? Did our leaders not see? They didn't understand lands and mineral resources. Minister, we have had different ministers. What has been their role? What has been their enforcement of policy? I mean, as a minister, one of your jobs is ensure that the law works. Does laws in Ghana even works over here? How about enforcement? You know, it's one thing to have good laws. It's the other thing also to have enforcement. The problem with Ghana has been enforcement. We have all the beautiful laws we can quote. Freelance lawyers, you know, from the academia, the legal brains. But enforcement has been the issue. Coupled with politics, playing with people's lives, playing with people's destiny, you know. And so for me, the way to go is not even the president, as Frimpong said. But I want to say power belongs to the people. The people should rise, supported by the media. Look, I have seen in most countries where media and the power of the people constantly has seen massive radical reforms. In fact, topple government. I'm not even going to say too much just to bring home Tunisia. In recent times before COVID, what happened? They didn't like the government. There was constant demonstration. You know what I'm talking about. Constant until the president at that time said, it's enough. I'm stepping down. Let somebody comes and then continue. Look, in Korea, just before COVID 2019, there was just a small flooding. It was just a dam that overburst its bank, and only one person lost his life. The state governor in that community resigned. But here we have a minister still sitting and keeping his job. What are we doing as a country? You know, when you see all this is going on, the impunity, the recklessness, the shared responsibility to protect the Ghanaian person. The question I wanted to ask all of you initially was that, do we all think that Galamsey problem now, which is affecting the environment, affecting our water body, affecting our food, affecting our health, do we think that it has become a national security issue? Do we think it has become a national security issue? Because if it has become a national security issue, I think we should be doing more than we're doing now. It looks as if some people care, some don't care, because people are benefiting from it, politicians are benefiting from it, the chiefs, like Frimpong said, are benefiting also from it. A whole lot of people have some stake in it. And so that is why the fight about Galamsey, we are talking about it, we are proposing solutions. But trust me, you and I, what has been done? See, that's the question. You and I will come back to this studio, we'll converge the same panel, and we are going to be asking about solution. And it's like it's a never-ending solution. The solutions are there. You think they don't know the solution? You think they don't know what they should do? They know what must be done. But unfortunately, it has always been the same Ghanaian attitude. And that is why former President Mahama said, Ghanaians are short-sighted. They have short memory. Once you put something small in their pocket, the following morning, they forget about everything. Why do we live as a country and we continue to let people suffer unduly? So for me, if you ask the solution, I think that the media, the fulcrum of democracy is heavily rested also on the media.
Okay.
The media must lead this advocacy together with the citizens. This one is citizens' action. This is citizens' experience. Let's rise together until finally we see some changes, whether it's going to be with this present government or maybe the next government, I don't know. But I think the media, if I want to talk about solution, I am bringing it back to you. The media. Media must be consistent. They must be deliberate. They must continue. I understand there are some media people also who are covering up. That is what I've been informed. They are covering up. So the energy and intensity that they ought to carry to move, they are not doing it because they are also profiting from it. But we need to rally behind the media so that the media will lead this advocacy. That is why Joy FM will continue to give you that appreciation, because every time and then this issue comes up and we talk about it. But let's not be talking about solution because they know what to do. Let the media lead with the people. And I believe that once the media is leading and the people also are involved, there must be some action. And once there's action and we see change, it is better for us. It impacts the reputation of Ghana. It also promotes tourism in Ghana and the international community.
Thank you very much, Mr. Caleb Kofi, Executive Director, Service Excellence Foundation. Thanks for your time this evening on Showbiz A to Z. Yep, let me come to you, Uncle Francis Doku. So, Caleb is talking about the media taking this up, and we've been doing that. How about, let's say, people in the tourism industry picketing or demonstrating for this particular course in this regard? Would that be a bad idea?
You know, as it were. I mean, you remember what the tour guide said, you know. They are close with these people and they see every day the questions that are asked, you know, and all that. And so it would affect tourism communities that have tourist attractions where these things are. It will affect them. It means it would also affect tour operators. It would affect, you know, the value chain, hospitality, hotels, you know, and place where these things are. And so I think that maybe as we've started this conversation, maybe people didn't see from the point of tourism as it is now.
Yeah.
And this perhaps is showing that even in the tourism space, we're all living dangerously, and it will eventually affect, you know, our incomes. It will affect the things that we do and the things that we like, the people that will come, you know, and all that. And so there will be the need for people within the space to take up advocacy as well. I would love to hear what somebody like Dr. Aka, you know, would say about this, because he's the president of the tour hotels, you know, association, and their hotels are within some of these spaces, you know, and as Emmanuel mentioned, people are looking for places where they are ecotourism friendly, and beyond that, sustainability is a very key word now in tourism, that if they don't see that you have sustainability policy, you know, and you're not implementing things that are sustainable, probably won't come to your hotel. And so it's important that people within that space also get up and find a way to advocate. Tuga, Gatov, you know, Tour Guides Association, all should come together and say that, listen, this thing is going to affect our business. It means it would affect our income. It would affect our livelihood eventually. And so there's a need for some action, you know, to be demanded from authorities. And as Caleb mentioned and as Emmanuel mentioned, we have given our authority to some people who promised that they would ensure that we have safety, we have security and all that. So at this stage, I think that leadership must stand up. So something is done. Some have advocated for a declaration of emergency, a state of emergency. I don't think that will happen. It won't happen. I don't think that will happen. But there's a need for some action that will ensure that we halt, as Emmanuel said, perhaps halt everything around mining for now. And let's see if we can trace back the licenses that are giving and if people are using them the way they are giving. And if they're not mining around the water bodies, they're not mining within the forests as the license, you know, wants them to. So we need to stop. There's a need for some action. And that's what has been asked. I think the government put out some steps that they are doing.
Four of them.
Yeah, I hope that they implement those. But beyond that, I think the call is either there's a state of emergency,
the military,
or there is a stop to mining at this stage, and then let's see how things.
This morning I heard on the news file that the military, the place they went.
Mm-hmm. People are back.
The people are back.
You finish here.
Just three days after the military had gone
again,
there.
Again, the fact also is, as mentioned by Emmanuel again, there's a need for proper engagement of the local authorities, the chiefs, you know, especially because it's important that we engage the chiefs and
Francis, the inhabitants themselves. Yeah. What do they see? Don't they know that what they are doing will affect them and their families? The inhabitants themselves.
Their livelihood is. It's
but because they're making money.
Yeah. Yes. People are looking at their livelihoods now. Yeah. So it's. I mean, okay. If you stretch the argument, it's more about being selfish. Yeah.
Okay. Let me pick Pajon's final thought on this one. His solution to the problem. Pajon.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So before we go, yeah.
Yeah. The solution situation is. It's really something that, like.
I didn't know it was still on the line.
I'm still here with Francis. You know, I was listening to the submissions you were making. I was off at some point, but I'm here. You know, the matter is quite dicey. And the point that was just being made about how selfish people can be because they are thinking about their livelihood. Where does tourism come in? Tourism, you know, coupled with the creative arts, have a lot to play there, even with the people. If the creative arts was recognized and encouraged and well-financed and serviced in this country, these people who are in these communities, who feel helpless and, as it were, useless, such that they think they have to go and engage in, they probably have a lot of skills that can be developed to engage in this industry. And that way, they can make genuine money that does not affect or impact the environment so negatively. So for me, I think that looking at that whole thing holistically, the actions that government has to take also should include how they can help to develop the skills. You know, how many of them could probably be musicians? How many of them could be dancers? Who can be dancing and creating these cultural or community groups that can service the tourism industry that may come near those tourist attractions? For instance, the villages or the communities near one of the big attractions, maybe the Kintampo area. Maybe if there was some sort of attention given to the creative arts that links to the tourism, you know, a group of a drama troupe or a cultural dancing troupe could be created in those areas for those people to have a job to do, to make some money. And I don't think if they are making some kind of livelihood, they would want to go and spoil the environment as much as they are doing now. Right now, as it's become quite bad because they've seen the extent of the kind of money they can make. So when you go and give them something that is bringing the money is trickling in, you know, it might be a big of a challenge. But there should be some start and there should be some sort of concerted effort. This is what I was talking to Mr. Abeku Segu the other day. And he was saying that, look, how many people are in this Galamsey? They say about 1 million or 2 million, you know. And a whole load of them could be discovered as the next, the next Shatta Wale or, you know. So these are some of the things that, you know, some of the solutions that as we're thinking of the military angle and all those other angles, how these people can be empowered with developing their skills, you know, because like Francis said, the impact of this Galamsey is, we haven't even felt it yet, you know.
Sure.
The impact is going to raise its head, you know. We're going to be able to measure that sort of impact, the negative impact
in the next 3-4 years, I mean, we've been talking about these things for the last, what, 10-15 years, and this is where we are now. In the next 3-4 years, when we're going to see that the whole manpower potential of Ghana, because those who are educated brain drain, they leave and go abroad, and the ones who are left, those who are don't get enough or good education, who think they are useless, who could display their skills through creative arts and in the tourism industry, are not being given opportunity. So I think we must have a holistic
way
of approaching this whole thing.
Okay, thank you very much, Pat John Datsun, who is a tourism curator. Uncle Ken, you were on the floor before I came back to Pat John. Please, I think, yeah, you were. Okay, you were making a point. Okay, so now, the ball is in your court now, Uncle Ken.
Yeah, Kwame.
Yes.
You know, while you were on recess or on a break,
yes,
we had interactions amongst ourselves here, the three of us. But me, I believe that illicit activity, left unchecked, can damage a whole community or a country. And that is what we have done with this Galamsey issue.
We've looked on
for far too long for it to generate, expand, get to a cancerous situation. And we are now trying hard to try and solve it. And that's the difficulty. The inhabitants who indulge in this matter are coming up with emotional rants.
Yeah.
Trying to say to us, what do you want us to do if we stop? Well, you are not giving us any jobs. It's like everybody else living in places where there are no galamsey.
Have jobs. Can't do anything they can.
Yeah.
And it's all a whole mess. So me, I am with Mr. Frimpong when he says that if we really want to fight this, we need to put a complete halt to the activities.
Okay.
When we do that, and then we now start to streamline things and put things in perspective, that might be what will help. Recently, I saw a skit on Facebook with some creative skit where a driver of a big man who was a galamseya.
Yeah, I saw it too, yeah.
You saw that? Yeah. Sent him to buy him water and he came back with
galamseya water
for him to drink, Then I asked myself, oh, this is good, but if you sent this to the sites where galamseyas operate, would they buy into it? That was my question. Yeah. Would they buy into it? Those guys there they don't care. All they care about is the money they are making, because they were giving alternative livelihood things where I understand some of them were being paid 2,000 a month to get into activities, and they looked at 2,000 Ghana cedis a month and said, some of them say, 2,000 way, say, in a matter of 5 days in my head. So why will I take the 2,000? So we see the issue is huge. That is why I'm with Mr. Frimpong. Put a stop to it completely and then keep monitoring how things go. Otherwise, we won't achieve anything.
Thank you very much, Uncle Ken. Thank you, Uncle Francis Doku, as well.